Welcome to Hometown Highlights, where we sit down with professionals, business owners, and community members. There are so many unique and incredible stories in the individuals and businesses that surround us every day. Here on Hometown Highlights, we bring attention to these stories and bring them to the spotlight. We also want to thank our sponsors at Hitchings Insurance. We appreciate their support in creating this podcast. Now, let's jump into the conversation.
We want to welcome you to another episode of Hometown Highlights. We have three special guests today. We have Karis, Lauren, and Hannah Willow. They've got storied local sports careers. They are, one is currently at Liberty Benton. We have two at Cedarville University currently. They come from a big family. So there's six siblings, Karis, Alyssa, Nathan, Lauren, Hannah, and Calvin. They also have three dogs, Max, Mia, and Bella. There's so much we're going to talk about here, but we really appreciate having you guys on. I do look forward to this. I've read so much about all three of you, and this is really neat to have you. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Dom, how are you doing today?
Good, good. Doing great this morning.
Awesome. So let's start out with some icebreakers, girls. Ladies, are you guys iPhone or Android users?
iPhone. We all have iPhones. Originally Android, but yeah, we all switched.
So are you Apple everything or just the phone?
I have a MacBook we're using right now. So yeah, kind of Apple now.
You guys have the watches and everything?
Hannah,
I have a watch. Yeah.
See, we're just getting them all. Steve Jobs would be really happy with you three. All right. Are you guys morning or night people?
Morning. I mean, night. Definitely not morning.
I had quite a few early mornings with clinical and lifting this semester. So I can stay up pretty late, but also be up really early. So
I feel like I'm most productive when I get up early, but awesome. I don't know if I exactly enjoy that all the time. So
awesome. So let's get into it. You guys have had some pretty storied athletic careers. Obviously, you're doing well in school if you're at Cedarville, and you know, and Karis, you being at Liberty Benton. I don't even know where to start. There's so much we can talk about. Let's just get it out of the way. Let's talk about the state run with you, Karis, and what that was like in that journey. And we'll start with the youngest too. So.
The state run, you know, it's always so cool to be able to go to state. You get to be there for 3 days with some of your best friends. I loved my team and we were just all so close. So being able to spend an entire weekend with them was great. And then adding on a state championship was pretty cool too. You know, state's pretty fun because we get to play the top teams in the state. And being able to compete at that level with the environment at the Nutter Center is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you guys didn't lose a game this year, right?
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's obviously rarefied air in the fact to bring home it. There's not very many state champs when you look at it. You know, I don't know very many state champs personally. And I'm, you know, I was a college athlete. I know a ton of people that are athletes and it's pretty special when you look at it to go undefeated because you did have to play the best of the best and actually beat them, you know. So what was it like for, you know, Lauren and Hannah just to follow along with what your little sister was doing?
Is this a question for us?
Yeah, yeah. What was it like just going along that run and just kind of rooting for her? And what was it like being in your family, you know, watching what they were doing?
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of excitement, especially as the season went on. Certain games we kind of expected, you know, for her team to win, but like the bigger games as the tournament went farther into November, the more we saw them continue to win in like recesses was really exciting. So yeah, our whole family was pretty excited. Thank goodness for Twitter. That's usually how I follow it along and saw lots of different tweets from her coach, Jeff Todd, and he'd always post stats and everything. So that was a platform that I really used to kind of keep connected to her season and what they were doing back at home.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool to follow along and hear about the games that they were playing.
Were you guys able to go to the state games and watch?
We went to the state championship game. We had class on the day that they had the semifinals. So, but we were able to see the championship game for a row.
Awesome. No, that's awesome. Dom, you want to kind of get into what's going on here?
Yeah, so I kind of want to go through and tell the story. So let's go back to the beginning. You know, the all three of you mentioned that you were involved with sports heavily from a young age. And I guess my initial question that I have is, you know, why, how, you know, you have older siblings, we're older siblings athletes. So you kind of got, you know, I'm the youngest of three. So I understand what it is to have, you know, older siblings. Get my entire childhood was essentially going to all my brother's athletic events. So was that kind of similar for you three and going to, you know, your older siblings, or was, you know, your parents, were they athletically inclined, or, you know, what? And even, I guess, on top of that as well, volleyball, obviously we're here to talk strong emphasis on volleyball. Was volleyball the first love that the three of you had as far as athletically speaking, and take me through that process?
I think I personally probably benefited the most from the older siblings watching, going to almost every game that I could. Parents would always take me along. So since I was, I don't even know when Alyssa started playing, but I was there at almost every game. So being able to watch the higher level, rather than, I don't know, sitting home, I don't know. Being able to watch them, you learn a lot from, I personally learn a lot from watching other people, whether that's my siblings or just, college teams or professionally. And growing up with four older siblings. It was a very competitive atmosphere, and my goal as the youngest girl was always to beat the older two. I mean, rarely happened, but sometimes.
I like the Lauren's face right there.
We're competitive. Really, really competitive. That's
good. That's awesome.
My parents are both involved in athletics, and they're small Bible college, and so yes, moving to small town Arlington in later future years. Yeah. Arlington is very big into athletics, and the community really supports that. And so that kind of helps also kind of spark our interest in it. And I don't know, my first love was soccer. And then about fifth grade was when volleyball opened the doors for, I think, a lot, all three of us. And so, but by then, like, our older sister played a little bit. And so that, of course, like, sparked some interest as well. I don't know if you want to add anything.
Yeah, I also loved soccer to begin with too. That's like a common sport for a lot of younger kids in Arlington, is you play soccer. And I played for quite a few years, did like 2 years of travel soccer, and eventually decided that I was ready for a change and wanted to take volleyball a little bit more seriously. And so I decided to give soccer up to participate in a travel volleyball team instead. So
awesome. You said your parents were athletes as well, college athletes?
Yeah.
Where did they go to school?
Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. It does not exist anymore. But I did play there.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, mom played volleyball and basketball. My dad played basketball.
Wow.
Yeah.
So growing up then, you're in volleyball, you're playing, especially for, so if I have the ages and the years correctly, so Lauren and Hannah, you are 2 years difference, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And then there's 4 years until Karis, correct?
Yes. Between me and Karis, there's 4 years.
Yes. Okay. So, you know, for Lauren and Hannah, you two were, especially in high school, on the court for 2 years together. You know, what was that dynamic like in high school? And then obviously you are playing volleyball together at Cedarville. You know, has that sister teammate relationship gotten stronger, or how is that, or has that stayed the same? You know, was equally strong in high school as it is in college. What does that relationship look like between the two of you as sisters and as teammates?
Yeah, in high school when we started out, I actually started out as a right side on the varsity team when I played with her my first year. And so we trained together, but we weren't the same position. So, like, we worked together well on the court. Blocking-wise, we were a pretty solid block together.
We were called the Willow Wall.
Yeah, we were called the Willow Wall.
Love it.
Yeah. And eventually there were some injuries that year, so I got bumped to the middle. So then we were able to train together and to give each other some tips, and that just kind of carried over into when we both ended up at Cedarville. So, and it was always a little bit competitive in some drills in practice when they have like middles go against the middles. Of course, your sisters are butting heads, and like Lauren said, we're very competitive people, but it was also like a fun competitiveness. So.
Yeah, no, I think we've been always just like the two sisters that have been really, really close just because we're 2 years apart. And when we were younger, we did everything together, even in high school, like every music, every athletic, every everything that we were always just involved in at the same time. So like she was the one person who had really understood my weightlifting, my schedule, and I was the one person who really understood hers. And so as we have grown, even now into college, I mean, we don't have the same fields of study, but we're able to support each other. And we both go through a lot of the same issues on the court and such. And so, like, I don't know, sometimes I kind of forget she is my sister because we're just super close. But playing with her has been really fun, especially now that we've gotten to play 3 years at Cedarville together since I stayed for my 5th year for our COVID season.
Yeah.
Because usually that doesn't exactly happen. Your siblings don't get to play with you as much. And so having the opportunity was really cool. We're really thankful for it. So
yeah, that's pretty awesome. How are your teams at Cedarville?
They're pretty good. To start off this season, we were ranked number one in our division for the GMAC. Unfortunately, we've had a couple hiccups in the middle of the season, such as injuries, and we struggled with 4 or 5 girls on our team getting COVID at the beginning of the year. So that kind of just took a hit on our season. So we didn't get to finish the season the way that we hoped. But we realized the Lord is in control of all things, and we could still have a successful season, whether depending on how many wins or losses that we did have. So, but it was fun. They're pretty good girls. We're all pretty athletic, and just sometimes life kind of gets in the way of some unexpected turns.
Yeah, I think you kind of put it well. I mean, there's always a higher power that's in control, and just sometimes you have to live with what happens and learn from it. And, you know, there's a lot of life lessons in that things don't always go your way. So that's cool to hear that. And Cedarville, I mean, it's a great school. I played at Tiffin, so we always played Cedarville. It was a great environment. So you've probably seen stuff around. We played against a guy named Mugambi Thomas, was the player of the year. And if you look at some of the records over there, I'm sure he holds a bunch of them. But he went on to play overseas ball. And I'm pretty sure that guy could hit his head on the rim. He he was a freak, man. He could do all. I don't know how many dunks he had against us, but he was always fun to play against. And we ended up beating them at home my senior year, and they were, you know, they were nationally ranked, and we had just a lot of good games against them guys. So in your crowd down there, I assume it's, you know, with COVID, obviously it was probably screwed up a little, but that gym is awesome. Everybody's right on top of you, and it's a cool setting. So I'm familiar with where you guys are at, and it's a great school. So kudos to you guys for carrying on that second level and, you know, finding a way to win and enjoy it. And it's awesome to hear.
So all three of you, volleyball is the main sport. And I do want to just touch on for a brief moment, because all three of you also compete in track and field, correct?
Yes.
And I'm assuming, purely an assumption, I'm assuming that if you're volleyball players, that probably high jump or long jump is probably what you do.
They both do high jump and long jump. I do high jump and hurdles.
Okay.
So, wow.
And you both, so all three of you, I mean, even at Cedarville right now, Lauren and Hannah, you two are 2-sport athletes, volleyball and track. And then Karis, you do volleyball and track then at Liberty Benton, correct?
Yeah.
So how is that, I guess, I have a couple questions with that. You know, obviously being with indoor track and outdoor track, you know, so you are competing year round in volleyball then in 2 separate sports. But then on top of it, you did mention COVID. And I know that I believe it was last year when the fall sports, a lot of fall sports were canceled and then were pushed to the spring season. I'm assuming, did that happen at Cedarville as well? The volleyball got pushed. So did you still compete in indoor and outdoor track at the same time as playing volleyball?
Yes.
I have no clue how that would work in the schedule.
Yeah, so I think the GMAC was really helpful with us. They realized that we had several two-sport athletes with volleyball and, like, another spring sport. And so what they were willing to do, they had the games on Tuesday and Friday for volleyball. And then we'd have indoor track meets on Saturday. So what Hannah and I would do, we would get on the bus to come home from whatever, like an away game. We usually have a lot of away games for some reason. And we get back at like 12:30, 11 o'clock. And then by like 5 o'clock the next morning, we'd be on a bus again, heading out to a track meet. So our coaches both had to like have lots of communication for us. They wanted to make sure that we weren't completely stressed out, like figuring the schedule out. So that really helped us out a lot. Yeah. So, I mean, it was manageable. There were some times where like, there were some conflicts, but we'd always go to volleyball because that was like the team sport. And so we had a girl, actually a teammate for both volleyball and track, who qualify for Division II Nationals, but for indoor, but she couldn't go because that was the weekend of our conference tournament. So she had to give that up. Really. But
how do you choose, right? was there like an unwritten rule that one sport was primary over the other between the coaches? Like, how does that work? You just kind of choose.
Yeah, a lot of the time, like Lauren said, we went to volleyball because it was a team sport. And Lauren and I were the two middles. Well, there was one other middle there with us on the team there. But, yeah, like Lauren said, because the majority of the time it was volleyball as a team sport. And not saying track isn't a team sport. But it's a little bit different of a team sport than volleyball. Mm-hmm. So,
but usually they try to make it work for both of us,
right.
Both sports. So, but yeah, volleyball got priority when there was a conflict they couldn't switch up.
It's wild.
It's cool that your coaches and the conference even was willing to work with, you know, athletes similar in your case to. Yeah, because I can't even imagine. I mean, obviously the meets, the games, you know, you have to sometime get practice in there for both of those sports as well. You know, you can't, especially at the collegiate level, at any level, but you can't just, you know, show up on Saturdays and try to jump over the bar. There's still got to be some kind of practice during the week. So that's awesome that you're again, the teams, coaches, even the conference, all the way up from the conference, that they like, okay, we're willing to work with athletes in similar cases to yours. So take me through then. So for the two of you, Cedarville University, you know, what did that process look like to go to Cedarville? Why Cedarville? You know, was it for the athletics? Was it for academics? You know, obviously I know your faith is important to you as well. And Cedarville, you know, being a strong Christian school, kind of a little bit of all three, you know, for each of you, Lauren and Hannah, you know, what did that choice to Cedarville look like?
Yeah. So for me, I actually was not interested in Cedarville or a school like Cedarville. I wanted to kind of go off and do my own thing. My parents had always stressed going to a Christian school. And so I kind of just wanted to be independent, show like where I want to go is where I'm going to go. And then I also just wanted to go far away from home, kind of branch out. But the Lord had just grasped my heart in a hotel room over a volleyball tournament. In Indianapolis one night, and I opened my Bible for like first time forever, and like my mom kind of like asked me like, hey, like what kind of influence do you want your coach to have on your life, because like he's somebody who's going to lead you, you're going to spend a lot of time with him, like a parent, like a leader. And so right then and there, I guess because you know, the Lord had, but like I was opening my Bible and reading it, I was like, okay, Christian school, this is kind of like what I want to go to. And so I contacted at that time Coach Walters, just the coach at Cedarville, and went on a visit, and then he didn't really know who I was at that point in time, but eventually he looked into me a little bit more because I had been playing on a volleyball team with Michael Chagoff for the University of Findlay. And so they were like coaching buddies. Findlay was not yet in the GMAC, but they would eventually be. And so they talked and discussed my abilities and such. And so later on, I got an offer from Cedarville. And but overall, it was just, they had strong academics. I actually wanted to go for nursing, which is what they're really, really known for. But I chose education, which is also a fantastic school there. Yeah, but their faith and community was what really kind of grasped me, and the way the girls on the team interacted with each other and supported and loved one another. I knew I wanted to be a part of a program that is only excellent on the court and off the court, but just within each other. They support and love each other very well.
Nice. Yeah, for some reason, mine went all the way back to when my oldest sister, Lauren's older sister, Alyssa, was playing at Grace College. At a JV tournament, they were playing Cedarville in their play tournament. And I just remember, I turned to my mom for some reason. I said, I want to go to Cedarville. I could see that, and I knew they had a really strong program there and really strong academics too. And so my mom, I remember her turning to me and she's like, well, you're going to have to work really hard for that. And then fast forward a couple of years, Lauren ended up committing to Cedarville and was like, hey, this is kind of cool. But it came to my recruiting year and, I just kind of pushed Cedarville off to the side. I was like, you know what? I'm not quite so interested in it anymore. And I started looking into some other schools that are a little bit further from home, but, Lauren knew I ended up tearing a ligament in my ankle, and the schools that I thought what I wanted to go to ended up, I lost communication with them because I wasn't able to play. And, I was going into my senior year. It was summer before my senior year. Yeah. And Lauren's like, why don't you just come to our volleyball camp? Just give it a chance. And I was still like on the side of, I really don't want to go that close to home. I want to go kind of far. And I also wanted a Christian college too, but again, it was just the distance. I wanted a little bit more, but I went to their camp and I was like, okay, this was fun. Talked to their coach a little bit and I was like, okay, I'll consider it again. So I looked into it to some more, prayed about it, sent in some film, did the regular recruiting stuff, emails, phone calls. And then just felt like the atmosphere there was good as well. And I'm a nursing major too. So like Lauren said, Cedarville is really well known for their nursing program there. It is a challenging program. The professors there are great though. And so I ended up deciding to go to Cedarville.
Awesome.
Cool. So Karis, then I know that you as of this moment have committed to Penn State, correct?
Yeah.
And you're a junior this year?
Yeah.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. So you do still have your senior year left as well. So for you, with committing to Penn State, I guess kind of walk me through what that decision was like for you. You know, was there pressure from your sisters potentially go to Cedarville as well, or even pressure internally to say, hey, I would love to be able to compete, you know, and be teammates with them there? What did, I guess for you, why Penn State?
My recruiting process started a lot earlier than a lot of people's. I was first looked at the end of my seventh grade by a few schools. Yeah. and there was one school in particular that, and even in seventh grade, I'm like, I really want to go here. And so I talked to them for about a year and a half through eighth grade. And then when the NCAA rule changed, it used to be where we could call them. We could have phone calls with them as long as we initiated the phone call. But the rule changed, I think it was May 1st of 2019, that we could no longer communicate in that way. And so there was about a year and a half of dead where I didn't hear anything. You still got letters from people, but you had no communication at all. And so, June 15th, after your sophomore year, is when coaches are allowed to reach out to you. And I was still stuck up on this one school. I'm like, I still really want to go here. They have a great program. One of the top volleyball programs in the nation. They are well known for what I want to go into. And as time went by, like a few weeks passed, and I still hadn't heard anything. And so I kept my options open. I was looking at other schools, and then I went to Nationals in Orlando for AAU, and I got to see a few more coaches. I was having phone calls regularly, maybe like two or three times a week. with different universities around the country. And I Penn State, it's definitely a different story than most people that commit to Penn State. I mean, beforehand, you hear these girls are like, yeah, I committed in eighth grade. I committed in seventh grade. I got a phone call June 15th, and I'm like, okay. Mine wasn't until their camp in July. I had just gotten back from Northwestern's camp. I enjoyed my time there. That was one of my top two schools. It was down to those two in the end. But I begged my parents to let me go to this camp. I'm like, I have always wanted to go to Penn State since I was little, and my parents took me to an Ohio State, Penn State volleyball match. I even had a jersey, a volleyball jersey. They got sweatshirts and I got the jersey. So, like, I at least want to say that I've played here or just say goodbye to it, you know? Camp went really well. Afterwards, I was given a tour by Johnny Parker. She is their All-American right side, who's also in education. Then on the way home from camp, I got a text message from the assistant coach. Monday before the camp, I think it was like the day before, I had had a phone call with them. They were just trying to see where my interests were at, but all their offers were already out. And when I was on my way home from camp, we were just driving, and I get a text message from the assistant coach. She's like, hey, is it okay if Coach Rose gives you a phone call, ... exciting news. I'm like, okay. And my mom and I were just driving, and he calls us, and we pull off, and he's like, what would you say if I made you an offer right now? We were both in shock. I mean, 48 hours before that, it was, we already have all our stuff out. And so it was definitely different. I went on a few more visits. I took an unofficial, and then I think it was September 3rd, I went on my official visit there, and I loved the atmosphere. The atmosphere of the Penn State volleyball game is just incredible down in Happy Valley. And the team interacted really well. They were all very close. They were very goofy and funny. They were just messing around with each other. And I just felt really at home and at peace with my decision. And so that's where I decided to go to.
That's awesome. That's a cool story. Him reaching out 48 hours, all within a 48-hour span, kind of changing, you know, the entire narrative for you and, you know, what you thought that next step was going to be. So, you know, being midway through your junior year, I guess, like, what does it look like? How do you feel at the moment? You said it now, you're at peace with that decision, but what does it feel like that you have two more track seasons left? You still have one more volleyball season at Liberty Benton. Like, obviously there's this sense of excitement, you know, ready for that next step, obviously being able to watch your sisters compete at the collegiate level as well. So there's excitement for that next step, but also like there is still the present moment and still the, you know, you're a little over halfway through your athletic career at Liberty Benton High School as well. So how do you feel, I guess, at the moment with kind of balancing that excitement for college, but also like trying to be present in the moment and make the most out of the, you know, year and a half left at Liberty Benton?
I think when you're playing any sport, whether it's track, volleyball, or it used to be basketball, you are representing so many different people. You're representing yourself, you're representing your family, the community, you're representing your teammates and your coaches, you're representing God. And when I play for volleyball, now I'm representing Penn State, which is pretty cool, you know. So the mentality, I don't really know. It's pretty much the same as always. I mean, you get in there and you do your business. It's definitely exciting. It gives you motivation to keep working harder, to keep pushing through those hard practices when your legs feel like jello. I'm still super excited for track season. Volleyball season is definitely different. Since I'm going to be a senior, I'm one of the leaders. And just getting my team ready for that. And I think after committing, they have a little bit more confidence in me. And I'm just looking forward to see what this team can do in the next season.
Awesome. That's exciting. So a question then for all three of you together, you know, so obviously, you know, you are your family, the three of you, well known for volleyball, well known for track and, you know, the athletic side of things. If you can tell me, what is one thing that most people don't know about the three of you, whether it's three of you or your family, is there something you say, you know, like our family, everyone thinks that we just play volleyball 7 days a week or 24 hours a day or whatever it may be. Is there something that you would say, you know what, that most people don't know? Maybe it's something, an interest outside of volleyball, outside of track, outside of athletics, another passion that you have. Is there something that is unique that most people don't know?
Some people know this. Lauren and I in high school, I don't think Karis is, but Karis is a part of the choir at Liberty.
Hear it.
Yeah.
Prove it. Come on.
Lauren and I were members of the Arlington High School marching band, concert band, pep band. We were band geeks. And we were also part of the choir. Yes. I also enjoy playing guitar on the side too. So, yeah, we can be quite musical.
Musical. I was going to say we're a bunch of dorks.
we're ditzy dorks, especially the three of us. Yeah.
She's very, very goofy. I'm very ditzy, and Hannah's just...
I'm odd. Yes. I describe my personality as I have the personality of your stereotypical band geek, but I'm an athlete.
So. That's awesome.
I forget things. Like anyone who's ever played with me, they know that I'm the person that's going to forget things. I'm also the person that's going to find random things in their bag. So like, if you're like, hey, I need an extra sock. I'm like, hey, I don't know how many times it's been used, but like, here you go.
I can say we're a bunch of dorks. We're musical, we're athletic, we're just dorky. So, yeah.
Who's the best athlete?
I am.
Oh!
We all play that. Yeah. No, we're all pretty athletic. I don't know. We all have our strengths.
How about the little guy coming up? Is he athletic?
Oh, no. He is, probably. He's not as driven, I don't think, but...
He can dunk.
He's
14 and can dunk.
Yeah. He's like, I'm a 8th grade boy who can dunk already, and he's bragging about that, and he's really excited. So.
Well, if his dad put college ball on you, you guys are all over 6 foot, aren't you?
What was that? Sorry.
You're all over 6 foot, aren't you?
We aren't. I'm 5'11". Yeah. Hannah's 5'10". She's a short one. So we're.
Karis, how tall are you?
I am 6'3".
6'3". Yeah. I'm 6'8", so you're in that same level for female clothes. I can't find jeans that fit. Like, you got a special order everything?
Gotta get the...
long life, I'm telling you. How tall is Calvin, then, as a 14-year-old?
Calvin's 6'4".
Oh, so he might not be done yet.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done. My dad's on, like, 6'9".
His uncle's 6'8". Yeah, we have an uncle who's like 6'8". So
how tall is your dad?
About 6'5".
6'5". Yeah, Calvin's probably not done. How tall is mom?
6'2".
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's not done growing yet.
Yeah, I know. Wow.
So, Karis, are you gonna go back to back? Do you have the team that can go back to back, bringing everybody back?
It'll definitely, there's a lot of shoes to fill. I mean, Izzy Granger, who's one of the top players in the state. We had an incredible setter, Sydney Elsesser and Kelsey Conkright, our libero, were so underrated. They're really, really talented players. I think every one of our seniors could go and play collegiate level if they really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some height. Our team is definitely blessed with height over the past years. I mean, how often do you hear six girls on the team being over 6 feet? So there's definitely shoes to fill, but if we work really, really hard, I think we have a shot at getting back to state.
Well, you'd go down in the history books for sure. That I hope it happens, and I hope we continue to read about you guys. It's fun to follow. So that's so much fun.
Yeah.
So we'll start to wrap up the episode here. Appreciate, you know, your guys' time. I want to be respectful of your time jumping on this morning. Just have a couple additional questions for you. First is, you know, we've been talking about your past, talking about present, you know, where you are now. Looking to the future, you know, as of now, I guess, how do you see for each of you, you know, where do you see yourself? Do you want to be back in the Northwest Ohio area? You know, where do you see potentially involvement in volleyball? Would you, you know, as of this moment, have a passion for coaching, maybe one-on-one training? Maybe you say, you know what, I'm cool just watching from the stands for a period of time. You know, as of now, where do you see each of you post-collegiate? You know, post-college, obviously, Karis, I understand that's a little bit more difficult question for you, a little bit farther away. But as of now, where do you see yourself geographically and then within the volleyball community?
Yeah, I don't know exactly where I want to live yet in the future. We're just kind of going to let the Lord take that in his hands. But this semester, shockingly or surprisingly, the Lord can really surprise us, I'm learning recently. For the longest of time, I wanted to be a pediatric oncology nurse down at St. Jude's Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. That was my like dream when I was like 14 years old. Again, like I said, I wanted to go into nursing to Cedarville, so that also played into that. But the Lord has actually placed psych nursing on my heart this year, which is shocking because I was definitely that nursing student that was like, okay, I have to take this class as a part to get my degree, have no interest in it at all. But sitting in the class and going to the clinicals, I fell in love with it. And my nursing instructor actually told me, she's like, you belong here. And I mean, yeah, in a good way, but, yeah. So, yeah, I thought about psych nursing now.
Your mom laughing.
Yeah. That's one.
I actually had several different options to be more involved in volleyball after I graduated in May. I was actually like the summer towards the beginning of the season, or through midway of the season, I was actually being recruited to play overseas for volleyball. I would have gone over to Venice, Italy in about July to go on a tour to be picked up by a team. My roommate and best friend is from Cedarville, is doing that in January. She graduates in about 2 weeks. But she's wanted to do that for like most of her like college career. So really excited for her in that way. But the more I just kind of thought it over and prayed about it, I just didn't feel like that was what the Lord was calling me to do. And so I still really love mentorship. I love the sport. And so I do want to go into coaching. So actually over this Thanksgiving break, I'm applying to grad school at Lee University, and I've already been offered the graduate assistant.
Nice.
And so I'll be more in like the coaching role with Baba as I continue forward. And who knows, but that's where I'll eventually end up. But for right now, Cleveland, Tennessee is going to be probably my home for the next 2 years.
Do you want to be is your dream to be a college volleyball coach, Lauren?
Yes, that, or just, I'm going to go for school counseling. So just to be a school counselor and be coaching volleyball.
Okay. So a coach in some capacity then.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, good luck with that. That sounds awesome.
Thank you.
You know, obviously in the future, I want to have a good career at Penn State, but, one of the key parts that played into a decision was to my likeliness of playing overseas after college. It'd be pretty cool if I could go play in like Spain. You know, I took Spanish for 3 years and learned a lot about the culture in the last year. And so that would be pretty cool. But yeah, I definitely want to see how far I can take it, because if you can make money doing what you love, then why not, you know?
Yeah, for sure. There's not a whole lot of people that can say that or do that. So. You know, obviously it's not just going to be given to you. You're going to have to work for it, but you know, that next level is always, you'll learn, your sisters can vouch for it. When you go to college, there's typically somebody that's better than you, and you have to figure out how to outsmart them or outwit them or outwork them. So, it's pretty neat, but yeah, that's a heck of a dream, and I hope it comes true for you. Never been to Spain. Love to go sometime. Yeah. What intrigues you the most about Spain? There's got to be something. Is it the food? Is it Just the beautiful views? Is it the architecture? Or what is it in general?
I think a little bit of the culture, whether that's architecture, the language. I don't know. I picked up pretty easily on the language. The old buildings, like caves and whatever. It's pretty cool to see. And it's kind of somewhat near ocean.
Not really. It depends on where you're at, but like
it is.
I would love to live on like a beach, which would be pretty great. You know?
It's the Spanish Bay, isn't it? Isn't that the big body of water there? I'm almost positive it is. Yeah, there is a beautiful beach in Spain. So
live on the beach and play volleyball for a living. Doesn't sound like a bad life.
No. Eat amazing food every evening. Yeah, it sounds good.
For sure.
Right?
So the last question that I have then for the three of you, you know, as we started the podcast, told you about the emphasis on the community within, you know, the Hometown Highlights podcast. So walk me through, I guess, what does community mean or look like, you know, again, for each of you individually, obviously with your time at Arlington and, you know, your time currently, Karis at Liberty Benton and also Cedarville, you know, what does, you know, Karis, you even talked a little bit about, you know, community and playing for how you represent, you know, multiple different people when you are, you know, on the court. So walk me through, I guess, for each of you, what does community mean to you and how has the community supported each of you individually and as a family?
So community, what it means to me, I think a lot of it just comes from support off the court because we are more than athletes. Especially at Cedarville, for me, I need a lot of support with being a dual sport nursing major, because there are days when they're hard and they're rough and I have scary exams coming up. And so having people to go and study with, having other students, if I had to miss a class for traveling, giving me their notes, or just taking like 5 minutes to sit down and say a quick prayer with me has been huge. And just words of encouragement too that come along with like, you can do this. And nursing school is challenging, but so is like competing on a college team too. Encouragement from our coaches to push through the hard times, being able to just go and talk to them about things too, has been really helpful. And then also just always having friends that are up to go have a spontaneous coffee date too is a lot of fun. So it's not just school and it's not just athletics too. There's a social life in there too. From Arlington, it was helpful also to have that spiritual atmosphere from our church members too. The get togethers, the youth groups were really encouraging, people coming to our games were encouraging too, and just asking about us, how we are doing like as an individual too, was really helpful. So
community for me kind of means like a group of people coming together to support an individual or a group of people or like an organization for the betterment, whether they're doing really well, they're supporting them, they're really encouraging them and cheering them on for more success, or if they're just kind of, you know, in the lows, they're just stepping in to help them whatever way that they can. And I've had so many people, whether it be athletic trainers at Cedarville when I'm sprained an ankle, or even here at in Arlington, just people coming to our games and supporting them. And like, you've had a lot of people like give my parents newspapers or clippings, sort of, hey, like we saw your daughter in the newspaper or whatever, just cheering us on, supporting us every game, making signs of the community, making sure the kids feel really supported in their athletics, to encourage them to keep fighting on and pressing on. And it's just like cool when you know there's a big group of people supporting what you do, no matter what happens as a result of your season or the game. But I think in both places, in Cedarville and Arlington, they do a really good job of just like, even Liberty Benton now, because Karis is part of that, they do just a really, really good job of just like coming together, supporting each other. And I know that our family, my freshman year, our dad went through an emergency brain surgery. And that was probably kind of like the lower parts of like when we needed just some people to come by and support us. And like our church family, our community here in Arlington, people around the whole world were just like randomly coming, giving money in any way. They were making meals, making sure that we were looked after, cared for. We had teachers at Arlington be like, don't worry about homework if you need to go visit your dad down in Columbus. Yeah. So that was just a really cool example from when we saw the community work in a way that it should for our family. And so to know that they had our backs in the lows meant even more that they had our backs when we were at our highs. So, yeah.
It's small town, you know, just kind of doing its thing there. Just,
yeah.
We're all from a small town, you know, everybody on this call. So that it, we all know what that feels like and what it can do for family and folks in need. So that's a cool story. Thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. One last. So pretty much what they said, but yeah, it's definitely when a group of people comes together to support a person or a cause, like Lauren said, but, obviously the community of Arlington is pretty great, through all of our struggles in the past. But I really fell in love with the Liberty Benton community, being what most people call a sport-oriented school. You go in there and people just, you know that they're cheering you on. But it's even more than that. They truly do support you for whatever you're doing, whether that's art or musical. There's so many people that show up, people that don't even have kids that go there anymore, people that just want to come support us. It's a really neat environment, especially on game days, you know? Yeah.
Awesome. That's cool. Thank you for sharing that. We appreciate that. So Karis, Lauren, and Hannah, thank you so much for your time this morning. This has been awesome. It's been fun just getting to know you, kind of dive into your story and the entire process that, you know, kind of past, present, future. And we wish you nothing but the best with the next step and whatever that looks like for the each of you. And again, just thank you for your time. And this has been a lot of fun.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, ladies.
This has been the Hometown Highlights Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed this conversation. For similar interviews, you can subscribe to the podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors at Hitchings Insurance. Thanks for your time, and we look forward to the next show.